I'm going to speak about 10 minutes and give you a message on those readings. The front of the bulletin says it well. It's from the 19th Psalm, which Anne read. The heavens are telling the glory of God. Did you know the skies could talk? I don't think about that often, but the psalmist is having some fun with the language. It's evocative, it's imaginative, it's playful. The firmament, which means all the sky and the space between earth and the sky, the firmament proclaims God's handiwork. God the creative artist. God the one that gives life in all of its diversity and color and majesty and mystery. The psalm is saying that nature itself is proclaiming something. It says as the sun goes across the sky and as the stars and the moon shine, they are sharing, now not with literal words, but words, a message for all to hear. I love that language. And what the created order is proclaiming about God is God's glory. Okay. Go ahead and reach in your hymnal rack there, in the pew rack. You'll see a red book. Do you see it in front of you? If you're sitting in the front, we hide them between your legs under the pew. You pull out that red book. Open it up and see who donated it to the church. Somebody made a gift to give us those books. As Scott said very well, the church operates only from the gifts of its members and friends. So we're thankful for those books. Now close the book and look at the title, Glory to God. What I like about that is, isn't that what Psalm 19 says? The heavens are telling the glory of God. And the firmament, the skies, are proclaiming God's good handiwork. Glory to God. When we gather here, we sing God's glory. We thank God for God's gifts. The problem with the word glory is it's a churchy word. Right? Outside of the church, you don't hear that word glorify or glory. Not much. So I had to look it up. Do you remember these books that were called dictionaries that used to be bound and they'd be on shelves? Remember those things? They were real big and heavy. I couldn't find one at home. I had to look up glorify or glory. I couldn't find one. And do you know where it was? It was on my desk holding my computer screen up so it wasn't so short. There it is. By that point, I'd already Googled the meaning of glory. Okay, to glory or to glorify. What does that mean? To thank, to bless, to praise, to adore, to exalt, to honor, to venerate or revere, to pay tribute to. That's what the church is in the world to do and invite the world to do. Come, glorify, thank, bless, and praise God with us. God who gives us life and this incredible, mysterious, wonderful, diverse world. Abraham Lincoln said, I can see how a person could be an atheist. If you look at the world and you see the war and the poverty and the disease and the death and the injustice, Abraham Lincoln said, I can see how someone would be an atheist. Then he went on to say, but if you look up to the heavens and look at the majesty of God's creation, I cannot fathom one who cannot see evidence of God's being and love. Isn't that a wonderful quote? And most of us live somewhere between the two poles, right? Agnostic who say, where in the world is God? I don't see much evidence with all of this suffering. And then at times delighting in the majesty and the goodness of God. We had a church member who was an artist in fabric. Her name was Molly Elkind. We're very sorry that she and her photographer husband moved to Santa Fe, New Mexico. Unless, of course, we're going to be vacationing in Santa Fe, then that's a helpful contact. Molly and Sam were here for years offering their gifts, offering their talents. And Molly said to the church session once, you know, I left the church as a young adult. I really no longer wanted to be involved. But then I had to reconnect, and here's why I reconnected. Molly said, I came back to church because my heart was so full of gratitude and thanksgiving and the beauty that is in the world. I had to turn somewhere to express it, and the church gave me an avenue to express my thanks. That's the most beautiful way I've ever heard somebody say why they're in the church. I am here to offer blessing and praise and glory and thanksgiving because of the mystery, majesty, wonder, and gift of life in all of its fullness. Well, the theologians call the psalm and this kind of language general revelation. That is, whether you're in Bangalore or London or Beijing or L.A., go L.A. Rams. Wherever you are in any of those places, you can see the sun and the moon and the trees and the stars, and you can feel life. You have friends. You taste food, right? You get the benefit of this general gift of God to all living things. General revelation. It's for everybody. In fact, with the day school kids, what we always do in the first chapel is we talk about coming here to pray to God for all of God's love and goodness and God's gifts, but God's invisible. And so we try to figure out how can we know that God is here with us when God's invisible. So what we do is we always look outside and I say, "Do you see the wind?" And they say, "No." "Can you see what the wind does?" And they say, "Yes, the leaves are moving." "Oh, look, one just fell." "Oh, you can even see the grass or the flag or other evidence that there is wind." It's invisible, but there's evidence. You can feel it and see its effects. I said that at 9:30 and somebody walked out and said, "Since you said that, not a limb has moved." Sometimes the evidence is hard to see, right? General revelation. It's for all people. Now, what the Christian church does is it says not only does the created order proclaim a message about God's glory and God's love and goodness and being, but in a specific way, there is special revelation. That is, for those privileged and called and able to hear the good news, we encounter God in this person of Jesus. We know in a full, final, and complete way more about God because of the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Sure, anybody can look outside and see the moon and wonder and awe and give thanks. But what is God's nature? How does one be in relationship with this God who is the giver of life? The church looks to the person of Jesus, and Jesus is proclaiming. That was the passage I read. Jesus goes back to his hometown congregation, and he proclaims to them that his work, God's work in the world, is freeing those who are captives to sin. His work in the world is giving illumination and bringing light to those who live in darkness, hope to the hopeless. His work is bringing good news to the poor that need a word of encouragement and love. His work is proclaiming God's forgiveness for all of us who have messed things up. We get second and third and 70th opportunities to start over, to try again, to be the people God's calling us to be. Jesus gives us relationship with this Creator God. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. Jesus proclaims the love and the salvation and the forgiveness of God. That gives us life. In response, you and I proclaim the good news of the Creator, the sustainer of life, and the redeemer. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let the people say, Amen.